1, 2. Yep. Okay. We're just going to make sure, confirm that the stream is working before we start. Hei, hei. God dag, god dag. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. Astrid, men... Bjørge, if you can you hear me? Can you send a confirmation on text if you can see the stream and hear me? Yes. All good. So we have a confirmation that the stream and the sound is working from somebody outside this classroom. And then we're then I think we'll just start. Good morning and welcome to the third lecture of IMT 4116, Reverse Engineering and Malware Analysis. Last time we covered basic static analysis, trying to find indicators of compromise by looking at the artifacts of the executable without running it. Today's topic is basic dynamic analysis. This is chapter 3 in the textbook that I hope most of you or all of you already have gotten hold of. And I want to start with, if I can get the next slide, start with a warning. When you do the labs after today's lecture, this is live malware. So please show due caution and use the safe environment that we've been providing you with. If you have any questions, please ask first before you click. Don't regret clicking and then how do I fix my entire computer? As long as you use the setup in the virtual machine that we have provided, the malware that we're handling during the lab should be harmless, or at least okay to handle. But if you run them in an unsafe environment, you might be in trouble. And also, please make sure that your internet connection is turned off when you execute these this malware, unless otherwise stated. Okay, and then we have Benjamin joining too. Welcome. Okay, so basic dynamic analysis, what is this about? Well, we're going to run the malware and see what happens. In some textbook, you'll see this as called behavioral analysis. The book that we're following calls it dynamic analysis, and they also differentiate between basic and advanced. Advanced, we'll cover that later, but then we're opening up the malware and stepping through it in a debugger. But now we're just going to execute it on the computer as it is. We're going to interact with the malware, and the whole objective here is to help us find more indicators of compromise. And why do we do this? Well, the technique I taught you last week have limited limitations. So you might reach a dead end. This could be, as we saw, due to obfuscation, packing, or maybe you just tried all the static analysis techniques and didn't find much. Or you find something, but you want to explore it even further. So basic dynamic analysis is then the natural next step and an efficient way of identify malware functionality. So we want to find out what does the malware actually do. So we're going to monitor malware as it runs. We're going to do some examination after we have executed the malware. like I said, this is the natural second step of malware analysis. Hopefully we'll discover or observe some of the malware's true functionality. But this also comes with risks, limitations, and one of them is a risk. Like I already mentioned, there's a risk to the system when you execute the malware. That's why we use the safe environment. And also, there's also a chance that the malware may not execute all paths as it runs. It might be looking for something specific. It might wait for something to happen. It might have a delay. Or it might be a command line malware that expects input. So just be aware that there are some limitations. Briefly mentioned Sandbox. This is the quick, dirty, automatic approach. So Sandbox is then that security mechanism that runs these codes in a safe environment and analyze them as best as they can. Fully automated. This is a good, if you have these tools, this is a good way to get an initial, it's supposed to be triage. There is a little misspelling. But be aware that a lot of the sandboxes require you to upload this malware to the internet. And again, as I've stated before, that is a decision that you and your company needs to make. Do we want to expose this malware or let people on the internet know that we have it? Sometimes it's worth it to get input from others and get quick results from the sandboxes. But be aware that malware writers will monitor, at least the Series 1 will monitor the online services. And if they discover they launch a new malware and they see that somebody uploads it, then they know that their cover is blown and they might divert and do something else. So that's might be worth considering, at least if you want to keep your infection secret and work undercover on it a little bit before you reveal it to the rest of the world. You can of course purchase offline versions, but they are expensive. And the level of detail you get back from these sandboxes vary, but you can get network activity, file activity, register activity, mutexes, and some are also using VirusTotal and other services to provide additional results. They have some drawbacks. They run the executable, at least there's a disclaimer at the end here, I'll cover that, but as the book explains it, they run the executable without command line options. So that's a limit if the malware requires input. They may not record all events, like I mentioned earlier, sleep functions and other things that make them not catch everything. And the environment that you run this in might be wrong. They might be tailored for certain OS or environment that you don't provide in the sandbox. And the sandbox cannot tell you what the malware does, just what it observes. So you have to draw some conclusion yourself anyway. And then the disclaimer towards the end. This book is now, I believe it was released in 2012. So I assume that modern sandboxes that they have evolved and are more sophisticated than what the book indicates. But I'm not going to cover that, and I don't have enough to give you the updated version because IMT 4116 is not... We're not going to deal with sandboxes at all because we are going to get your hands dirty. You're going to do this on your own. But if you work in a company and you have the resources, then it's worth looking into sandboxes. Okay. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to follow a certain procedure. And that procedure consists of five steps. This might seem obvious, but I'll put it up there anyway. What we will do, well, first of all, notice the comment in the bottom right. Always start and finish, if you're done, with a clean image, so you know where you start from. Then step number one, activate monitoring tools. So you activate all the tools you need to find out what's going on. Then you run the malware. Might be easy, some malware might be trickier. Then you terminate the malware, and again, for some malware it might be easy, others trickier. Then you pause the monitoring tools, and then you have a bunch of logs that you can examine. And that's where the fun and the hard part starts, making sense of the logs. So this very simple five-step procedure is worth remembering, and this is what we're going to show you, and you're going to get to do during the lab. So activate monitoring tools, run the malware, terminate the malware, pause monitoring tools, and then examine logs. And we'll go through these steps one by one. First one with all the monitoring tools will be, I'll cover a lot. Number 2, 3, and 4 are simple, not simple, but quite quickly to cover. And then number 5 is the really hard one, and I'll show you an example. And then the rest is actually practice, and experience that you'll get in months and years working with this. So let's look at step one. Activate monitoring tools. Well, the first question should then be, what should we monitor? And of course, we want to do everything, but as you probably know, there's very few occasions where you can actually do that. But you can divide it into at least two categories. You want to look at the local activity on the computer, like file systems, registers, and processes. And then you also have the network activity. Look at the communication from the computer to the network. What does the header say, and is there any payload? So those are the two, what's going on internally and what is communicated out. That's will be worth paying attention to. And how do we do this? With different tools, and here there are several tools that can be used, and I will mention some. And some are overlapping, as I told you already. It's nice to have several tools doing the same things in case one doesn't work, or you prefer one over the other, or there are slight differences. So we will use tools like that handles looks like a task manager, process hacker, or process explorer, process monitor, or capture bat for internal activity. Registers, we'll pay attention to that with RegShot, and then network activity with Wireshark. So that's the tools that we'll have a closer look at. And for those of you that are online too, please interrupt with questions in Blackboard if you have any. First tool, Process Explorer. Just mentioned already, right away, there's an alternative called Process Hacker. Not sure if both are installed on your VM. I think so. I'll mention the difference a little bit later. But Process Explorer, that's just a powerful task manager. And this should be running when you perform the dynamic analysis. For several reasons, it could list active processes. You could look at loaded DLLs, process properties, system information. What we really need it for is to kill the process or the stop the malware. So step number 3, if I remember correctly. And you can log out users, launch, validate processes. We're not going to use all this. We're going to have a look at what information is in there, but with all these other tools, the most important one for us is actually we need to have a tool up where we see that the malware actually launched, and we need a tool to actually kill it. Just quickly in Process Explorer, some coloring schemes. You have different colors for different information. So pink is services, blue is processes, green new processes, and red terminate processes. The two last one, green and red, are temporarily, so you'll see them and then they'll disappear. When you get experienced, paying attention to Process Explorer and see what pops up and what disappears is a good exercise. You might catch something. I don't know if this is readable. It's, but I just wanted to show what it looks like. It's you have the different processes and services listed here, and then you have information that way. It's I'm sure you all have used the task manager before. And the malware should pop up here when we execute. There are some things that we can do in here that can be worth trying. If you double click on a process that you see, you'll get up a property window. I have a slide. Next slide shows it. So, and there's. Under the image tab, just briefly go back and forth here so you can see it. It looks like this, and there's an image tag up to the left there. And there's a button there that says verify. And this can be used to verify the signature that Microsoft has for its code. This is based on the what's on the disk and not what's loaded into memory. And that means that if your malware is replacing something in the memory after it's been launched, called process replacement, then this won't work. But you might, if that's not the case, you might get an idea whether this is the correct or the Microsoft signed code that is running. There's also, you can also compare strings. We looked at strings last time, and there's also, you can also compare the strings on disk in memory to see if they've been changed. And there's an indicator of compromise for you. If there are large differences, then maybe you're exposed to the process replacement attack. So that was the double click on the processes. Look at the image tab and use the verify button. If you see here the first time you go in, it says not verified. If you click and it turns out okay, I'm not sure if it says verified or if it disappears, but you'll find out that when you try. And the strings, just look at this tab here, strings, and there's a way down here you can choose image or memory. And now I have a picture up there of both. And then you just do a comparison. What large differences? Okay, I said large differences. So what are large differences? Can't give you a rule. Just see for yourself. And if you see some differences, you test out and see if it's indicators of compromise or if it's due to malware or not, and build up your own experience. Then I mentioned that the alternative to Process Explorer is Process Hacker. This is the one that I prefer to use. It's more a habit. I just started using this. It's very similar, has the same possibilities as Process Explorer. An earlier version had, and I haven't found it in this version that we have loaded for you, but that it had a really powerful menu for killing processes. And you got a long list of different ways of doing it, and one of the ways was actually writing garbage in the memory area where the process was running. So you're sure you can mess up a lot. But this comes down to what you prefer. Well, for this course, we'll be able to do the same with both tools. Just the book covers this. I'm putting it in here now, but there's you can always use these task manager to it says analyze malicious document. That's a strong word, but what you can do is just get an indication. If you launch a PDF or a Word document or any other document, look at the Process Explorer and see if something else pops up, if other services are or processes are started, and then you have an indicator of compromise. So that falls under what I covered earlier about pay attention to what shows up in the task manager. And as with many of the tools, knowing what should be in the task manager on a clean system might be a good thing. There is, and this is not my strong area, but you see here there are lots of processes. This is a picture of a clean computer. There's nothing malicious running here now. So there's tons of services and processes running. And when you start working with this, having an idea about what this is a good good idea. Yep. No questions online yet. So good. Then everything's crystal clear. So a quick summary for the Process Explorer and Process Hacker. No difference in the use here. Up to you. Primary use of the tool right now. Look for new processes to pop up and use it to terminate the malware. And the rest comes with experience. All right. Next tool. RegShot. This is installed for you. This allows you to take snapshots of the registers and compare them to see what happens before and after you launch a code. And also, if you check this box, and I highly recommend that you do, check this box. I don't know if that's visible on... Björge, do you see my finger now? Can you just say yes or no? I don't know how far the video. Nah, okay, you didn't see. Okay, but you see the slide. So then the box that says scan directory. Check that box. Then the RegShot will look for files that were created when you executed, or that were created between these two shots. And also, you see you can specify where it's going to scan, and I'm used to setting it to C colon, just so it scans everything. Just be aware that what you put there is the basis for your results. So this is very simple. You click on first shot up there before you execute the malware. Then you execute the malware, you terminate the malware, and then you execute the second shot. And then when the second shot is done, there's a button that says compare. And you get a nice text document showing you the results. And I'll show you this in a demo later. So very simple tool to use. Understanding what it's doing is not as easy. So quickly on to the next tool, Process Monitor, also installed. This is an advanced monitoring tool for Windows. Looks at certain registers, file system networks, processes and thread activity. It doesn't capture everything. One example is set Windows hook that we looked at earlier, and it's not good for network activity. So it doesn't capture everything, but it captures too much. That sounds like a contradiction, but you get a lot of data with this tool, and sometimes it says more than 50,000 events a minute. The demo that I am going to do later, I think I reach 100,000 events in 30 seconds. So this will, if you let this run too long, it will crash your system or when you run out of memory. So I'm going to have filters. I'll cover that on the next slide. When you get that many entries, luckily this tool has good filtering functionality, so you can limit what you see and do searches. You can filter on the process or executable that is actually running, the system calls, and so forth. It's quite nice. And if you look at the figure I have there, I need to show it over here. It's the looks like a diamond. For those online, it's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th icon from the left on the bottom line of figure 3, 4. Just be aware that the filtering works on what has been recorded. So even if you activate filters from the beginning or do it afterwards, it doesn't prevent this tool from consuming too much memory. So you have to be careful no matter what. And there are two ways of do filtering. When you get the results from Process Monitor up, you could click on the individual entries, right-click, and just exclude or include. Or you can use the filter menu, that little diamond-shaped icon up top. And useful filters, I'll show them later, is process name. So if you know the name of the executable that you're starting, then you can use that name as a filter. And also if you're interested in write files or... I don't know if this is example is visible on the screen, but you in the book it's should be readable. Here they have filtered on operations, and the operation is reg set value, and then they get in the bottom screen here, they get only those entries that has to do with reg set value. So if you're interested in that, use this filter. If you're interested in write to file, then you find that operation and filter by that. This is one of the tools that collects so much data that it's really challenging to make sense of what it collects. And we'll have a look at it later. Then we have a tool that I have not installed for you. This is I learned this morning that the trick to get students to the classroom is to have something that is not in the book. So thanks for the tip. I highly encourage you to download this. I've given you the link there. This is a behavioral analysis tool. Works for Windows 32 operating system. It monitors the state of the system when you execute an application. Captures this data at a fairly low level, and as you can see, there's a couple of names here: Christian Seifert, maintaining it right now. So how do we use this? What did I give you the link twice? No. Yeah. Ah, that's right. This is the first link here is to the project. So you can read about the tool, and a lot of these sites that provide tools like this also is a great source for malware analysis tips. They have blogs, they have information, they have links to other people. So that's the link to the project. Here's the link to the tool itself. Similar to PROCMON, Process Monitor, less noisy. It does not look at the read type events. It is command line. Some like that better, some hate it. And here are some the parameters that we are going to use. If you put in the N, then they capture network traffic. C recovers deleted files, can be useful, but from what they the page says, that this whole tool, by the way, is optimized for XP. It works for us, but some people say that the recover deleted files is not the best to use on other OSs than XP. But try and see what you learn. And then it's you can just get the results directly in the command prompt, but if you save the output to a CSV. Man, I have a lot of typos there. It's correct here. You get a nice file that you can analyze afterwards. The way you activate it is the what I've written there, just to help you. And you terminate by simply pressing enter. The results are then stored in the same directory as you install the tool. I'm sure you can alter that if you want to, but that's the default. So the CSV file will be there. You can open it in a notepad or whatever you like and read the results. It also, if you have the end parameter set, it will also capture the network traffic and store it in a PCAP file. That is packed, but they include the 7ZA unpacking tool. So you just use that command line there, and it unpacks the log into a folder, and they normally, maybe always, well, every time I've tried it, but I'm not saying there are not exceptions, but usually then the PCAP file has an IP address and then .pcap. So it's easy to find, and you can open that in Wireshark and analyze. So that was step one. A quick run through. I know this is it's a quick introduction, but these tools, you don't learn these tools by me standing here talking about them. You need to try them yourself. So I'm hoping that the slides can be used, that they're valuable for you as a place to look up. I tried to include the command lines if you need that, or some brief examples, and the go online, read about the tool if you're not sure, and try it out. Then step two, running the malware. So now we set up all the analysis tools that we want to use, and now we need to run the malware. If it's an exe file, it should be as simple as double clicking. Be aware that administrative rights might be necessary. When it comes to DLLs, I'm not sure if we're covering that, if we have to execute that today, but I put in here some tips if you need to execute a DLL. There should be a function called run DLL32 included in Windows, and then you need to give it the argument as an argument, the function you want to use. So, next step then, we started the malware, we let it run, and then it's always the question, how long should we let the malware run for? Some of the malware waits for things to happen, it has delays. Can't say. Trial and error, test it out. Just remember the process monitor is going to crash your computer when it runs out of memory, so if you're going to test the malware for a long time, maybe drop that tool, at least for the first run, until you know what's going on or have a better idea about what's going on. So, terminate the malware. Simple enough, use Process Hacker or Process Explorer, right-click, choose Terminate, usually works. And if it doesn't, then we'll talk about that later. Okay, we've stopped the malware. Step four, we're pausing the monitoring tools. I'll show you this in the different tools, but of course it depends on the tool. Just what's important to be aware of is that when you start 3, 4, 5 monitoring tools at the same time, they're all paying attention to what goes on your system. The order of you terminating them will affect the logs of the ones that are still running, because things are happening on the system when you terminate one tool that the other active tools will notice. It's not a problem, but it creates noise that you need to be able to look past. And then to the hard one, and this we could talk about for 6 months, but we don't have time to do that. But this is there is no easy way to get around this. This is experience. You have to do it over and over again. You are trying to look through large logs to find some small pieces of information that are interesting, and one piece of information might lead you to the next one and so forth. And I have an example that I'm going to go through, and in that example, of course, I have all the answers and I know what's going on, and it's easy to present to you, look at this and this leads to that. And in real life, you will struggle unless you have lots of experience. So just be aware, this is, I've written 99% frustration and 1% success. That's a number that I just pulled out of a hat, but it's just to indicate that it's normal to struggle. And do not get lost in details. Try to get the overview and get the big picture of what's going on. Look at some indicator of compromise and pursue them and get some understanding. So practice, practice, practice. That's the key here. Let me see. I will cover a little bit more before we take a break. So when we analyzed some of the tools, they provide logs in a text file so you can just open and read. Others, you need to open in new tools to show. And Wireshark... anybody used Wireshark, by the way? Good. Then we can switch places. And then I'm just going to go through it real quick, just as a reminder. And open source sniffer, packet capture tool, intercepts and logs network traffic and allows you to visualize and look at the packet stream or in-depth analysis of the individual packets afterwards. Just be careful. Wireshark is known to have many vulnerabilities. Not a problem since we're running in a safe environment, but keep it updated. Well, then you have seen this. Did I miss it? The start and stop button. But there's a shark fin up somewhere that starts and stops the capture, and then you get the. At least what I use is the top window where I try to see what protocol is used, and then I'll show you in a demo how I use it. But very powerful function is the follow TCP stream, where you can actually see what's going on in one connection. So since you've used Wireshark before, and if you haven't, then ask for those online, then ask a question later. I'll if you get stuck. Just once in a while, I'll have this up there, just an ethical reminder. Wireshark is one of those tools. You can activate it and monitor the network traffic wherever you are, and it can be used for good and evil. So. Again, it's your responsibility, so please be responsible. Let me just see how far... I'll cover this. This is another tool that I have not installed for you, so you need to go and do that yourself. But procdot is a tool that helps us make sense of all the data from Process Monitor and PCAP files. It's interactive visualization available from that webpage. I'll see if I can show you an example later where I got this file from, but this is the malware where I that I'm going to use as a demo later. And this it takes all the data and not very easy to read here, but this is the malware that we executed, and you'll see later in the example that this malware actually creates a file, and this graph shows that it opens a thread here, and this is where the file is created. So that's how this this tool can. I'm forgetting that you guys online don't see when I move, or do you see when I move the mouse? Anybody online that can give me a feedback on that? I don't see it on the big screen up here, but I think the stream is from my computer and not from the. I'm moving the mouse in a circle right now. Nope. All right, then I need to be better about that. But the top orange square down there indicates a file called. Yeah, I can't read it myself here. .tmp at least towards the end. Brb bot or brb config .tmp is what it's supposed to be. Anyway, that's the file I will see that the malware that I'm executing is creating, and this this visualization tool is then able to see that too and present it in a nice way. The bottom orange square. Indicates encryption. And another interesting thing is that the first blue circle or oval above the black boxes, so this one, I think you'll see that on the stream, indicates that it's trying to resolve a host name. So it's indicating that it's going on the internet. We can go back to this figure later when I've gone through the demo, because then it probably makes more sense. The what you need to take home here is that if you download this tool, you're able to use the result from Process Monitor and PCAP files and get a graphical representation that might be easier to interpret than just looking at the text itself. All right. I think I want to go really quick through faking a network before we take a break. And then, because then we can start at the demo right after the break. Faking a network, malware might ask for network resources. If you remember the kill chain that we covered earlier, one of the steps is command and control. It calls home to get new commands. What should I do? Or it sends files to a server. And if the malware has that functionality, we need to make these services available for the malware in a way that it doesn't realize that it's not executing in a real environment. Two approaches, at least. But one is to simulate internet as with as many services as possible. You make a complete network. And I believe that is what the book is describing by using InetSim and a couple other tools. I have one, there's one other approach, and that is provide services one by one, which I prefer, and also is what Lenny Seltzer, if you go to his page online, what he recommends. The reasoning behind that, because it is slower. Takes more time, but if you provide services one by one, you don't miss anything. You will see, hey, this it's trying to resolve this host name. Gets back an IP address. It's trying to connect to over, let's say, port 80. But if you provide everything at once, you might miss some of these steps. At least he recommends, and I really like that approach, to do it slow and take one service at a time, and that's what I will demonstrate. The book covers approach one, using Apache DNS, NetCap, and iNetSIM, but I will demonstrate the one where we use the Remnux. So the idea here is that you have two virtual machines, a Windows platform where you execute the malware, and you have we use the Remnux, the Linux-based machine to provide network resources, and those and then we do it one by one. For example, first DNS, then the IRC service or the web server, depending on what the malware is asking for. Before you do this, and this we'll wait with this for the lab, but this is the last slide before we take a break. You need to confirm your setup and make sure that the Remnux and the Windows machine, virtual machine, can talk together. It's normal to set up the Remnux IP as default gateway and preferred DNS server on your Windows machine, and then you should be able to ping both ways. I don't think that works without a little tweaking on the setup that you have. Maybe it works, I'm not sure. But there are some pitfalls, but hopefully when the teaching assistants arrive, he'll get to fix all this or help you. That's the idea. And now I lost the... There you go. Now we cannot see it. What can you not see? All right, well, I'll see if I... okay. It was the mouse that they can't see. Thanks. All right, we'll take a break and we'll do a demo. The demo will be half live, half slides. I'll see how it goes. I'm trying to do it live because I think that'll be more interesting. And I think we have time for it now that I'm done. We came this far during the first lecture. Okay, I took 5 minutes of your break, so we'll start 9:20 with the demo. All right, thanks. Okay, welcome back. I got a question. From the classroom here that I thought I could take for everybody. The question was, how do I picture these hand-ins that are in this class? Because there are two mandatory hand-ins for this class, and there is no grade on them. It's pass or fail. And my idea is that if you look at the tentative schedule, I have invited some companies to host a workshop for you. And the idea with those workshops is that the companies come in here and they talk about a malware sample that they have discovered, and that they explain the process for you. How did we discover it? How did we analyze it? And how did we document the results? So I'm hoping that they can do that, and then that the following lab in that same Monday, that they will give, or we will give you, either the same or a similar malware, and then you get to go through the same process as this company did. So the hand-in then would be your attempt on writing a malware report. And I understand that we need to lower the bar a little bit. So for the first workshop, what I expect you to get into this this report is what we have covered so far. So if the malware sample has some advanced packing techniques or anti-reverse engineering techniques, I don't expect you to handle that on that that workshop or that hand in. So I want you to hear about a real example, and I want you to go back home and try what you learned so far in the course, and try to just go through it and document it, and hand in a light version of a malware report. And I haven't decided yet. I'll think about it a little bit. Whether the first report should be according to a template that I give out, or if I should leave it up to you to suggest the template, to see what some smart people might have good ideas that I don't think about. So we'll see. But my expectations is that you put some work into this, so that I see that you're able to at least produce some results according to the top what I've covered so far. And then as long as you give it your best, then it's it shouldn't be too hard to pass that. If you obviously didn't care, then I guess I have the option of failing you. But yeah. And so that's that is my idea. So far, then I've told you already. NoCert is on board, so they will come. And I have a meeting with another company this week. So we'll see if we get two different companies, or if we get NoCert twice. I'll get back to that. All right, back to the lecture. I have a demo, and I'm going to take a malware sample, and I'm going to go through and show you the five-step process. Just out of experience, I know that when I have to jump back and forth between the presentation here and my virtual machine, a lot of things will and can and will go terribly wrong. So what I'm going to try this time is to go through the slides first, and then you'll see the results of what I have done, and then I'll go back and show how I got these results in a live demo. And I hope that will help you when you're going to try this yourself. So there are two examples, or you will be given two examples. The book has one example. I'm not covering that in the lecture. You read that yourself. But I will demonstrate with a different malware that I see how I can make that available for you somehow. So this is what I'm going to do. Step one, I revert to a clean image. Then I'm going to start Process Hacker, so a task manager. I'm going to start CaptureBat. I'm going to start RegShot with the box for scan directory. I will take the first shot of the registers. I will start Process Monitor. When I do that, I will clear the buffer and pause it. And since this tool collects so much and crashes the computer in no time, I will hit start on Procmon right before I go to step two. And step two is execute the malware. And this time it's easy, just double click on the malware, and I will check in Process Hacker that it is running. And then I will let it run for some time. And out of experience with this particular malware, about 30 seconds is enough to demonstrate what I want to show you. How I know that it's 30 seconds is not a rule of thumb for all malware, but for the demo, it works. Then I will terminate the malware, use Process Hacker, right click, and terminate. This will work this time. Then I will stop the monitoring tools, Process Monitor first, because so we don't crash the system. Then I stop CaptureBat by hitting enter, and then I will take a second shot with the RegShot. And then step five, analyze. In RegShot, we will hit the compare button and see what the document, what it says. In Process Monitor, we use some filters to confirm what we've seen in RegShot. Then we're going to look at the CSV file in CaptureBat individually. And we'll look at the PCAP file in Wireshark. And then we're going to combine those two files we're going to combine the PCAP file from CaptureBat and the file from Process Monitor into procdot and look at the interactive graphical display. And I think, let's see, let me just real quickly, yeah. I think I'll stop there and demonstrate this actually, because the next slide is on a slightly different topic. So let's see if this live demos are always fun, because tons of things can go wrong. And now I need to move. There we go. So I open VM. Hold on, I'll just open. Oh, come on. There we go. First, I opened the virtual machine for this class. I renamed it. Yeah, there will be a little waiting, but Control Alt Enter will give us a full screen. All right. So if you remember, step one, I need to start all these monitoring tools. But what I need to do first, I need to find the malware that I'm using. Annoyingly slow, by the way, but I wonder what's doing that. Just drag it out there. Anybody remember what the password always is? Malware if you follow Lenny Seltzer, and infected if you if that doesn't work. There we go. We can close that. For some reason, this program, in order to work, should be in the System32 folder. So I'll need to move it over there. It's not. It works from the desktop too, but then. Okay, where is it? There you go. I've lost it on my my computer here, so that's okay, just insert it here. If anybody can tell me why my computer is so extremely slow here and not when I'm used at home, then I appreciate it. Could it be the streaming that is doing this, or? Okay. And then I'll just create a shortcut on my desktop. All right, now we're done. So see if anybody follows the, can have the presentation next to them and can tell me when I forget a step. I'll see if I remember everything. The first one was to open Process Hacker or Process Explorer if you prefer. Well, this is annoying. There you go. And this was just to see when the malware executes. We need to open RegShot. Do you see it? There you go. Okay, and then it was Process Monitor. I also said I was going to show you CaptureBat that I, whoops, come on. What I'm doing now, once, as soon as I open Process Monitor, I hit this button right here and stop the capture. You see it already has 65,000 events. And then two buttons over, there's a clear button. And then this is ready to go. There we go. We need to do this in two rounds because I don't and you don't. This is the same machine that we handed out to you, and CaptureBat is not installed. And with this slow connection here, I'm not installing it live, so I'll jump to a different machine to show you CaptureBat. So let's show these three tools for now. And if I remember the slide right, it's just CaptureBat that we're missing. Okay. Wireshark, but that, yeah, we can do that. Thanks. Do you see Wireshark? There you go. There are two different ways of using Wireshark, and one is to, if you use CaptureBat, you use Wireshark to analyze the PCAP file that CaptureBat captures. But right now we can start it, and we can see what Wireshark captures by itself. The local error connection. And then there's the green button. Let's start that. No packet capture. Hold on. There you go. Okay, just minimize that. Then I think we're ready. Let's see what happens. This malware is called brbbot.exe, available on the internet. If you can find it there, if not, I'll provide it. Thank you. And that means we need to start over again. You see, I'm too, the demos are not, okay, but then we'll, thank you, we'll do this over again. But what we can see here is now is that it started. And that's what you use this for. You see that it's executing. We wait a little bit, and since I messed this up, I didn't even start this one. Then we need to just stop it. And the fun part is that now we have to revert to a clean shot and do everything over again. So now I demonstrated how you're not supposed to do it, and you can laugh if you avoid these mistakes yourself too, because I guarantee you this is easy to do. So, snapshot. Now I got to show you how to revert to a clean shot. Ah, that bites. Especially when the computer is so slow. Don't understand that. Right. And now I'll cheat, since I know I have to change the machine for the CaptureBat anyway. I'll do that right away. Sorry, this one. Okay, same procedure. Malware. Put that in the system32 folder. This one goes much faster, doesn't it? Is that what you're asking? I have to complain to the teaching assistant why the other VM is so slow. Give him a hard time. Okay. That's ready. Okay, then let's go back. Let's start process hacker. So we can, and now please stop me before I click on a malware. Open RegShot. Remember to check this box, the scan directory, and change the setting to C:, or whatever directory you prefer to, or would like it to pay attention to. Process monitor. Stop it right away with this little looking glass. Clear the logs. 102,000, no thank you. Here we go. Put that down here. Then we have Capture Bat. So this is a command line tool. You need to go in the folder where it's stored. In here you'll have the CaptureBat application itself, and we'll see that the results are coming here eventually too. So we activate it by writing CaptureBat minus N to get the network traffic. I'm dropping the minus C for the deleted files, but I'm doing minus L to get the output to CSV file, results.csv. Does that look correct? It's amazing how difficult it is to read the screen sideways, and I need to practice. Now that is working. So I'll just put that down there. Now, let's not forget this. First shot. And we're waiting. Okay. Then we activate the process monitor by, and then it's going to start filling up with the vents. Anything else we have forgotten then? Because once I hit this button, I'm going to execute the malware and good to go. All right, there we go. All right, yes, then it starts and we execute the malware. Then we go over here, we check. It's running. And then we take a 30-second coffee break, just so we're sure we can capture some details. I've noticed that the minute you start process monitor, it jumps up to about 50,000 events real quick. And then it slows down a little bit, but it's still 75,000 events. So good luck reading that manually. Just start from the top and that would be on the exam. That's a good exam. All right. Let's say that that's about 30 seconds. Then step number two, terminate the malware, right click, terminate. Red for a second and then it disappears. And then I stop this guy right away because 94,000 events is more than enough to handle. We can stop Capture Bat. Did I hide it? There. Simply by pressing enter. Then you see it created a PCAP file. And there should be an output file for the CSV file as well. Now let's take the second shot of in reg shot. You can of course start as many tools as you want here. This is just an example, and I encourage you to do that too. Some people like tool A, some people like tool B. All right, so now we have gone through step one. Step two, activated malware. We have stopped the malware and we have paused the monitoring tools. Step four, and now it's step five, the difficult one, making sense of all this. And let's start with RegShot. Let's hit the compare button and it should produce a nice text file for us. I cannot explain everything here for you, so please don't ask. Or you can ask, I can just ignore the question. But there's a lot of information in here. I'll see if I can show you what we're looking for. But there are keys deleted, values deleted. A lot of this is standard things that happens anytime it's not related to the necessarily related to the malware. And then values added, values modified. Just a curiosity here. There's a little string there, looks like a file name. if you decode that or shifts every letter 13 positions, you should get back to the file of the malicious code that we executed. That's homework or fun for later. What we want to look at in this is all the way towards the end. There should be files, yeah, some files deleted. This is from CaptureBat. And then it's files modified, and should be files added somewhere. I didn't scroll up far enough. Files added. A lot of this is related to normal things. What malware analysts that look at this and know different things see is that this one sticks out. We executed brb bot.exe, and here's a file name that resembles that called tmp. So this is suspicious. There's also some encrypted indication of encryption here by the crypto RSA up here too. So some kind of encryption is going on. This is just the CaptureBat again. There is so much information here and that we're not going to go through, and I couldn't explain it if you asked. But the one thing you can look for here is files added and deleted, and file attributes modified. This is due to the checkbox, the directory checkbox. And then, of course, if you go in the very beginning, you see changes and additions done to the registers. This requires a lot of experience to figure out. But you could look for, we mentioned earlier, how the malware might create persistent by changing a certain register key. You can search through this and see if you find it and see if it's in here. So that was a quick walkthrough through the RegShot. Let's see if we can find something similar in this one. Now we're not going to go through 94,000 entries, so I'll show you how the filters work and just see if I can confirm the file created. Filters activate there, and then if you choose process name, then you'll find a very interesting here. We can choose the process brbbot.exe, which is what we launched, and then we add that. But we can do, there are still 36,000 entries, so what we can do is we can also add operation, let's see there, and we saw from RegShot that it's creating a file. So if we choose the operation create file and add and apply this, we're down to 176 entries, and there should be, now it's difficult for me to read here, but if you scroll down, I think about here, there's a line. Doesn't that say, isn't that the brbconfig.tmp? So we can see from process monitor that it confirms that this malware has created a new file. For any malware analyst, this is interesting. Why did it create this file, and what is it used for? So you've gotten some good information out of it. But as you can also see, lots of noise. With experience, you can then say that, okay, these are not relevant, right-click, and then you can take exclude, and they'll disappear from the... from the, you can continue with this. So you can fine-tune this log. This is not, in this course, I'm going to show you how to recognize some functionality, but we don't have time to go through and teach you all about how Windows works. So if you're going to work with this professionally, then you I guess you're starting to see the level of detail behind here that it will be valuable for a malware analyst to master. Okay, so that was process monitor. Then we have in CaptureBat, there should be a CSV file. Yeah, we call it results CSV, so here it is. And if we now open it, let's do it here. Local disk, program files, capture, and results. There. Then this is, I said that this has less noise than process monitor, but it still shows a lot. What we're looking for now is, of course, we could go through this and look for suspicious activity and things that don't make sense. Then you need to know what Windows creates, what is normal changes here. But what we can do now is try to see, can we confirm this file again and see if this tool captures that too. So then we're looking for file write and the temporary file. And now you need your help with your eyes here, because you can see it's not on the first page. Okay. At least here we see that there was a process created. Looks like Explorer is involved. It's brbbot.exe that's causing this. It looks like it. It thinks that are happening on the systems before. Yes, it looks like before the process caused by us executing the malware is in effect. People that really know Windows might find things up there that is abnormal. I can't do that. For me, that's just noise. And this is also don't be overly worried if you don't understand everything. What you're looking for is the needle in the haystack information that leads you closer to what the malware is doing, and then go down and see, okay, you know BRB bot, so look for things that has that written in there. But next line here is the confirmation that we were looking for. We see that there's a file write event involving brbbot.exe, and that there's a file that is added to system32 brbconfig.tmp. Excuse me. Okay. Yeah. What didn't we look at? No, we looked at Wireshark. And we didn't start Wireshark, did we? No. But yeah, we have the PCAP file. So we can look at this PCAP file and see what Wireshark is doing. Because what we know now is that there's a file that's being created. And what is it doing? But this is, now we look at the tools that show the internal activity on the computer. The PCAP file that captured can show us maybe if there's some network traffic. And that should be in this, there's a capture and then there's a date here, 23rd. 23rd of January 2017, and it's a zip file, so we need to unzip that. So 7 set A and then an X and then the name of the file. Let's see if ever, yeah, there you go. So just unpack that, and then there it unpacks a file with an IP address and the ending PCAP, which we can open in Wireshark. And I need to find my Wireshark, which is there. So let's see, open. Right there. Capture, go into the folder of the program, and there should be a folder called logs. And there's a PCAP file there that we can open. And I could ask you if you see something interesting here, but there's a lot going on here, but what I'm looking for is a DNS, see if a DNS request, or see. No, and something went wrong, and that's the curse of demos. There should be DNS request here. Let me just think for a second. Oh, we'll get it here, but all right, it's not there now, so let's close that and think a little bit about why. I need to think about that. I'll go back to the presentation in a second. There was supposed to be a DNS request there that was where it asked for a certain host name to be resolved, but since we haven't given it any DNS, then it wasn't able to and just stopped. But what I can do is go back to the presentation and show you there. there. Display filter DNS, Birger, what do you mean? Do you think my display filters DNS, or should I try to... Not sure I understand what your comment is. There's a comment from online here. No, that doesn't help. Thanks, Birger. But it doesn't help if it's not there, so... now I understand what you mean. Let's go back to the presentation. So, well, we don't know that, but you didn't get to see this, but trust me, this is what you should have seen. With this malware sample, we've seen some indication that it creates a file. And what I was hoping that Wireshark would show you now is that it tried to resolve a certain host name, and it wasn't able to. And the whole point here is, if you can just take my word for it, then I'll continue through here and see if we have time to run the demo one more time later, or at least during the lab. Then I'll go through the slides and get that on the at least on the recording. So there is no, this is what it should look like. The DNS trying to resolve the brb.3dtuts.by. But it's not successful. So what we do is that we provide the DNS either in Remnux by writing fake DNS, just a command, but that requires your Windows VM to have a connection to Remnux, or in Windows you can use Apache DNS. Up to you. If you do that, I've used the Remnux, then you will see starting fake DNS, and you will see that that it comes in and asks for brb.3dtuts.by, and it gets back the IP address of the Remnux. And in Wireshark, that means that it gets one step further, and the next thing we see then is that it tries to establish a TCP connection on port 80, but it's rejected because we haven't provided a web server. So that's why the Remnux replies with the reset ACK. So then the next thing we do is we provide the web server. On Remnux, this is httpd start. If you prefer Windows, you can use netcat, which is explained in the book. And if you do this, provide the HTTP server, then it will look like this. Then you'll see that the TCP connection is established and that you get on line... second to last line here, there's a get request for ads.php. So this is what I we could have provided all this information at once, and then maybe we would have missed a few steps here. But now that we do a step by step, at least I find it easier to see what is actually going on. If we dig deeper into this malware, and maybe I'll use it as an example later too, we'll see that the ads.php that is requesting the GET request, if you provide a text document with that name, you can enter commands to the malware through that. So this GET request is actually getting commands from the web server what the malware should do next. It requires some analysis to find out how this actually works, and that's something we'll try to cover later. I see the time flies when we're having fun, so it's already 10:05. So then my recording is going to stop in 5 minutes. I'm hoping, even though the Wireshark didn't show the initial DNS request, that these slides will help you understand it. Because the next we need to stop the lecture now, but the next thing now is the labs, and then you need to validate your setup, and luckily our teaching assistant is here, so we can answer questions too. Hopefully this will be clear when you practice a little bit. Any 5 minutes left until this recording ends. So any questions online? You'll have for those of you that are online. The Blackboard will be the Collaborate will be open for the next 2 hours when we do the lab. So if you try out some of this, then we'll be available there. For those in the classroom, we'll be right here. I know this was probably a lot covered in a short time and a very short demo. But you need, as I said before, you need to get your hands dirty in this class and try it yourself. And I hope you are giving you enough background material to do that. And again, feedbacks are appreciated. And I hope more people will share malware. Is a comment from the chat. I hope so too. So we'll get there. Any last comment, questions? All right. Then next time will be assembly. Prepare yourself. We're going to dig into assembly code. For some that's fun, for some it's difficult, but that's the topic for next week. I hope you enjoyed the lab. Please try it out, because I'm going to keep up the speed for the next lecture, so you don't really have time to fall behind. There's a lot of material to cover here. All right. Thank you. We'll take a 15-minute break. So let's say 10:20, I'll be available for the lab again. All right, have a nice week.